โตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะอัปปารุธาเดสังอมัตถสทาวราเยสุรวันธาปะมุจฉันทุสดา
So this is the Upasatha. And it's getting toward the winter solstice in a few days. The solstice means the days get longer, the nights shorter. We go through this every year, don't we? But it's an interesting thing to observe, isn't it? Just to here in the earth so far north that you can really notice this. The shortest day of the year will be around the 21st, 22nd of December. They're going away for a couple of weeks to Thailand and come back, and all the leaves are off the trees now. I remember contemplating just before I left, they were still, the trees had plenty of autumn leaves. I thought when I come back, they'll all be gone. And I was right, they're all gone. I think every year I do this, contemplating, and have to wait. You know, I think all the trees have lost their leaves, and have to wait till April, March, April, they start coming back. So just noticing the way it is, this sense of being with the flow of life rather than the kind of abstractions we make in which we live in a world always about, you know, that we create out of desire, fear, ignorance. So the thing of awakening, this sense of awakened attention to the present, and even though that's very simple to say, to sustain that, sustain that awakenness to that sati mindfulness is a lifetime's effort, because so the world is basically a delusion, and most of population is committed to that delusion. And our conditioning is based on that delusion, so that it's very kind of heroic to keep going against the delusion, to keep awakening and trusting in simple attention. And you notice all the wars, conflicts, problems and all that are around the delusions, you know, the way we perceive ourselves. Is there, you know, in thinking, talking to my sister this evening, who lives in Washington State, and how they see this war in Afghanistan, the American conditioning. And the view that from the American perspective, and then of course, it's always interesting to hear how the Arabs see it, or the Muslims, or the Al Qaeda, or the Taliban, because each one has a particular perception and a sense of being right and so forth. And so this is the basic delusion, isn't it? The world of perception that we cling to. So, like, if you're American, you think, you know, our intentions are good, and we want to help the world, and all that, and we believe in democracy and freedom, and then you hear how others see the Americans. It's not true. It's not the way. But both are conditioned perception, isn't it? Those that are thinking of the United States as this kind of democratic standard for freedom and justice and happiness, and that's a perception, as well as the Taliban perceiving the great evil force or the great Satan or enemy. Who's right and who's wrong? You know, then of course it's a matter of how our minds are conditioned, what we incline to, emotionally inclined to, or conditioned to perceive. In Thailand, for example, talking to Thais, they feel very much that what's happened to Afghanistan is their karma, because they destroyed the Bamiyan Buddha rupees. And that's another perception, isn't it? Their bad karma for destroying the Buddha rupees a few months back. This perception then is not to be despised in terms of our ability to create perceptions, but the fact that we're always lost, that we grasp these perceptions and interpret experience through them. Where to liberate means to, let go of perception and trust in awareness. And that can be rather frightening, because then all the supports, the world that makes sense, logical and reasonable and safe and homey and trustworthy and all that, falls apart. And what's left when the world falls apart? I was reading a review. They reproduced this Apocalypse Now in DVD, and they're giving a review about this crazy war in Vietnam, and the Marlon Brando figure that says, the horror, having seen into the truth of the way it is. And only the reaction could be the horror of it all. And so that this is, in one way, true, that at the center there's nothing. There's not a thing. And our whole way of perceiving is to create illusions that give us security. So that can be rather horrifying, isn't it? And most people in religion want to believe at the center is something, like a god that you kind of create, or some promise of happiness or whatever eternally, because those are perceptions that make us feel good, secure and safe. But to be able to go into the center and be that is that seen from the emotionally, it's horrible, but from the reality of it, it's ecstatic, it's bliss. So in terms of bhavana or meditation, then this, like in monastic forms that we're using here in Buddhist monasticism, it's learning to see through the delusions that we create, so that the transformation takes place. We're not just suddenly faced with, unprepared. We're actually, realizing, trusting more and more as we open to life and let go of the attachments that we have. That's why, you know, it's ironic that we get even attached to the convention that we're using for liberation, then it doesn't work anymore. So, you know, then you see all the ways we can get very attached to being monks or nuns or Theravadins or Thai forest tradition or Western Buddhists or the roles that we have and the conventions that we use. These become the kind of end in themselves. And though that's another perception, isn't it? Are we here to just use this convention as another delusion? Or are we going to, use it for awakening? And of course that's up to each one of us individually, isn't it? It's not, you know, sometimes we think if we had the perfect convention where everything was what we wanted and think it should be, then we could really practice. But that's not true. That's another perception we have of a perfect convention. So it's the reality of using, how to use the convention that we're in for sustaining awareness. So during this winter time, we have 3 months winter's retreat, and that's a good chunk out of a year to devote ourselves to this whole practice of awareness. Emotionally, we recognize that we're conditioned for delusions. So, you know, our emotional habits are around deluded about me and my position and my self and what I think and my opinions and what I look like and who I am and if I'm appreciated or not, or if life is being fair and just to me or not. And so that this delusion is what we are so strongly bound to, and emotionally that we're conditioned for being somebody. So even the idea of being nobody, being attached to I'm just a nobody, it's still, we can be emotionally attached to that view. And whatever is at the top or at the bottom of the ladder, it's still the perception and attachment is the problem. It's a delusion. And of course emotionally we feel, you know, we want to be respected and loved and recognized and appreciated and treated fairly and justly, and emotionally we don't want to be looked down on, despised and mistreated, abused and disrespected. So then that's the pattern of the extreme of the self, you know. So there's the wanting to be happy and not wanting to suffer, wanting to be praise and not wanting to be blamed, and wanting to be successful and not a failure. So the emotions are based, usually conditioned around those perceptions of being, you know, am I a success or a failure? Am I, you know, appreciated or not? So what transcends the emotional habits and the thoughts that we have, you know, what is it? What is the only possibility of being liberated from all that? You know, the more you go into it and try to analyze it and figure it all out through the deluded state, then it gets more and more complicated. You know, it's just, you increase the complications because that's just the conditioned realm, you know, is basically complicated. And so it just increases as you work from I am this person, and that is your basis, for practice or for being a monk or a nun. So as long as that delusion is your basis, is your what you operate from, is this a basic delusion, then even monastic life can get incredibly complicated. Everything, you know, the convention, the world around us, the position, it gets increasingly more complex, difficult, confused. So that's why I keep this recommending to you, trying to encourage you to start from before you become a person. So before you become anybody, and that of course can only be realized through awareness, isn't it? Through just simple act of attention, of open attention, and that then learning to recognize and appreciate that, to learning, you know, really treasuring and valuing this emptiness, this state of just bare attention before you become a person. So then if you can't, if it's hard to recognize, then I recommend that you, while you're listen to yourself becoming a person. So like think to yourself, I am a person. I am somebody who has a lot of problems. I'm a mess and I need to practice meditation in order to become enlightened in the future. Or I have a lot of suffering and I just want to practice in order to get out of suffering. And I've had a difficult life with a lot of complications and I need to really get my act together, practice meditation, get some therapy, and then hopefully in the future I will become enlightened. Or get a little, maybe I'll be a little happier. But basic delusion is the I am somebody. And whether, even if you think yourself, I am, you know, I am the greatest gift to this planet since Jesus Christ or Buddha. But usually you wouldn't be here if that was what you were thinking. But even that, I mean, think whatever way you want to, you know, it's, but listen to it, you know, that there, you know, you think you're the greatest or you think you're a mess. But the idea that I am something and I've got to do something in order to become something else or to improve myself or to get something I don't have yet, like enlightenment. So that this is a kind of the ego basis, isn't it? The Sakyaditi personality view starts from I am this body, this is me, and I am this person. So you can't just dismiss that and just believe that it's not true. It has to be investigated, you know. So this is why these are upayas I'm suggesting, ways of really getting, you know, investigating this. Not by just saying, oh, there's no self, and Buddha says, and there's no self, and it's all a delusion, and Ajahn Sumedho says that, and so I believe it. That's not it. That won't liberate you because the basic delusion is still there. So bring up the basic delusion into consciousness by deliberately thinking, I am this person who needs to do something in order to become enlightened in the future. I was born so many years ago in a certain place. Your whole autobiography, you can think out, but listen to it, you know, so that you're that which is aware and that which thinks. You begin to see the difference, know the difference between a pure awareness and the thinking mind. Well, I found deliberate thinking very helpful way of getting perspective, where if I was just trying to, oh, thinking is impermanent, and going along with the Buddhist teaching as if, you know, I really understood it because I understood the words, and that doesn't work. You end up convincing yourself of things, and you've not really, cracked the problem. So that's why, you know, you can believe in all these things, but that won't be liberating. You know, that won't be the liberating path. So they're like the koan or the conundrum, the kind of unanswerable question, you know. This way of questioning but listening, you know, there's attention to the moment, not just trying to create more perception answers to perception questions. Like, who am I? I am Ajahn Sumedho. Doesn't do anything for me. So that's a perception question, you know, and the answer is another perception. I'm Ajahn Sumedho. But what is aware? What is it that's aware of this? Those are thoughts, aren't they? There's the awareness, and then there's the thinking. You deliberately think, then you begin to. If you just attach to thinking all the time, then you can never get any perspective on it. So, like modern psychologists and that still think consciousness is thinking. I've heard this on the radio where kind of very respected psychiatrists or psychologists actually believe. I've heard this that the animals are not conscious beings. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. But then I think that they assume consciousness and mental formations are the same thing. You know, so that they can't separate the two. Because animals, they believe, don't think. They don't have highly developed language. So how could they think? How do they survive anyway? but recognize that when they're aware, there's awareness through consciousness. So you're actually, awareness and consciousness are working together, which then gives you perspective on the mental formations that are conditioned. Like language is definitely conditioned, isn't it? It's not. You know, it's not something you're born with. And then you learn a certain language. We don't all just learn the same language. So language then is a mental condition. Emotions are conditioned, in that we have emotions that are through experience, well, through fear and desire, through being praised or abused or loved or treated badly or through, you know, a happy childhood or a miserable childhood, our emotional habits are formed around that. And our position in the family and in the society and so forth. All these are, whether we, you know, we feel happy or sad, or we get jealous or frightened or resentful or angry or greedy, envious, confused, neurotic, distressed, despairing, and all that. These are reactions, emotional reactions that we have in regards to the conditioned realm. But emotionally, we can also, if we trust in awareness, we can also get perspective on emotion. And that's more difficult than on thinking, isn't it? Like thinking is a cold surgery, you know, it's just. But emotions are what, you know, really pull and linger and hang around and go up and down. And then it's just, you know, emotional world is, it goes all over the place. We can be horrible or just ecstatic or elated or depressed or, you know, happy or sad. Just you know, the emotions can be played upon, like demagoguery or, you know, people can, you know, that's what cinema does, isn't it? Pulls on your emotions. Or music, you listen to certain types of music and you feel sad or you feel happy, feel melancholy, or you feel peaceful. So emotional world is a condition, and it's conditioned through the delusions. So through the assumptions that we make. So this awareness embraces all of this. It's not like a repression of emotions or thoughts. It's not a condemnation or a judgment, but it's allows us to get perspective, so we're not just enslaved and caught in these habits and deluded by and continually deluded. There is a way out. There is nibbana, there is liberation from ignorance, there is non-suffering. So that's where we explore that. What the Buddha said, I teach only two things, suffering and the end of suffering. That makes it very simple, doesn't it? Only have to know two things. So suffering is probably what we're most aware of. It's easiest, isn't it, suffering? Because of the delusions, the conditioning of the mind, just the identity with the body and the nature of the body, isn't it? It's such a sensitive formation. It's so delicate and vulnerable and sensitive that of course it's frightening to be a human being, because it's, you know, if this is what we really are, this body, then this is a very frightening kind of identity, because the body, isn't it? All our bodies are, you know, suffer a lot. You know, there's pain and headaches and fevers and heat and cold and fatigue and hunger and thirst. And these are just ordinary kind of experiences that we've had from birth. And, you know, gets old, sickness, death. So what transcends the body in this present moment? what embraces, when he talks about transcendence or embracing, is awareness, isn't it? Because at this moment, when you're aware, the body is in the awareness. You know, you be aware of the body as experience in the present. So that this puts the body in a perspective that we don't usually have when we're attached to it on a personal level. When we attach to the body as me, then we have no perspective on it. We can only be, you know, obsessed with it. Or maybe we don't like the body. Maybe we just try to dismiss it and ignore it. But no matter what we do out of ignorance, it, you know, it eventually demands our attention. Because it's such a powerful and sensitive form to be incarcerated in. And it's not an easy ride being a human being in this human form on this planet. So that the awakened state is the only way we can ever get any perspective on it. And so that very word awaken is the Buddha, isn't it? That's what Buddha means. So they say Buddhism, or the Buddha, is when we are awake, when we're really present, then that's Buddha, awakenness, seeing the Dhamma. When we heedless, then we become a person, seeing the world, person in the world. So when is, now this is to investigate, when is there the Buddha knowing the Dhamma, or when is it a person in experiencing the world? And so this awareness is to realize Buddha knowing the Dhamma is to awaken, pay attention, learn to appreciate and sustain attentiveness, listening, really opening, not trying to control everything, not trying to wipe out the things that you don't like or just hold on to something you do like, but to open wide, let go, trust in awareness. And then there's the Dhamma, isn't it? The way things are. We don't need to have names for it and value judgments made about it or criticisms or make any complications. It is the way it is. So then the guidelines are to see that all conditioned phenomena is impermanent, because that's quite an easy one to observe. So what is it that's aware of impermanence? You know, and you can't, you know, when you try to think about it, it doesn't make sense. You know, is it, you just get caught up, confused with your own thoughts. So you have to, you know, letting go of thinking and trusting in awareness. So that's why this exercise in deliberate thinking, I am this person who needs to practice in order to become a liberated person in the future. To me this works. There's awareness, and then there's the thinking that arises in consciousness. So when I recognize, when I deliberately think, then it begins to, if I'm just caught in thinking about awareness, and you just go around in circles. So that's why, if you're going to think deliberately, fully intentionally think and listen be the aware, that which is aware of thinking, rather than getting interested in your own thoughts and attaching to them. Then there's the gaps between thoughts, and then there's the emotional world. And to sustain awareness around when emotions arise, you know, you can, you know, when you analyze or think about emotions, then it just goes on and on. Why do I get angry? Why do I feel resentful? Why am I so greedy? And all these, you know, endless kind of proliferations around why. But if you, when greed or anger, confusion, despair, grief, and all these are present, then you don't have to analyze why, but just notice they're like this. So you're embracing the present. You're fully with the present and willing to feel the energetic level of the emotion without analyzing it. It's like this. So you can notice in your body, in that, especially with strong emotions, the kind of way it affects the way things, emotional states. They're not like thoughts, are they? They emotional energy lingers and hangs around for a while. Thoughts move very quickly. You know, like the word anger. That's just, it's gone in a sack, isn't it? Anger. There you go. But if anger is present, it hangs around. You can feel it, you know, you feel the heat and that. So you go to that, you know, the learning to have the same relationship with it, of seeing it, Buddha to the Dhamma, rather than a person in the world. So then you notice as you embrace or open to these, then you notice that they are impermanent. You know, it's aware that their energy changing, rising, ceasing, present and absent. And this is what you can realize through awareness. Recognize. So this is something to know for yourself. This is, you can only know through your own insight, recognition of it. So just to encourage you in this way, so that, you know, even though I've said this so many times, but it does help to be reminded, and because it is, even though it's a simple teaching, it we keep forgetting, because the world keeps impinging. You know, it's just so powerfully convincing, and oftentimes totally overwhelming to us anyway. So this is where, you know, and it's not like, you know, the self always wants to feel it's making progress in some way. How many years have you been a monk, Dajahn Sumedho, and 35 asanas? And, you know, you should really be getting somewhere. You know, you must be, you know, you must really highly attain by now after all these years of dedicated practice to celibacy and Vinaya and all the rest. And like you're looking at this life as some kind of course in, you know, BA, MA, PhD, or you get rewarded for being a good monk at the end of your life. In some way, or It doesn't work like that, from my experience. It's just you become more confident in not believing in all the rubbish, in the scenarios of your conditioning of the mind. They become less and less convincing, less important. And then as life goes on, is that we have the vipaka karma of our lives. So we you know, there's always challenges in this, no matter how many years. It's just you have, you know, as you develop practice in the right way, bhavana in the right way, then you just have more, you know, confidence in the challenges are not all that difficult to handle. So this realm that we're living in, recognize in terms of it's a continuous change. Totally unstable realm that we're living in. You know, it's not the way it seems. And yet we want this illusion of stability and safety and certainty in it. But our safety and certainty, it can only come through awareness, not through controlling the material realm or controlling our mind. Trying to make our minds into something or other, you know, kind of repressing the dark side and rejecting, trying to wipe out the evil forces in the world like the Americans are doing now. But in terms of, you know, recognizing that this realm is good and evil. You know, it's the nature of this realm. The dark and the light, they coexist. So it's not, there's nothing wrong with that, unless you have an ideal that there shouldn't be any darkness, and then there's always something wrong when it gets dark. But if you recognize the conditioned realm is this realm of opposites. It's the winter solstice, the 6 months. From now be summer solstice. That's not fair. Why can't it just be the same all year round? Have equal days and nights forever. You know, why do we have to have the shortest day of the year at this time? It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if we had equality the whole time. Days equal to nights. Through the winter and summer. That's an ideal, isn't it? That's an ideal of maybe what one might like. But that's not the way it is. The way it is like this. So that the awareness is no longer criticizing the way it is and feeling it's something wrong, but recognizing that learning from the way it is, rather than thinking, getting caught up in thinking the way it is shouldn't be the way it is. So the way it is not a kind of fatalistic resignation to darkness, but it's an active attention to the changes that are taking place. The impermanent nature of conditioned phenomena. So I'll stop here. Tomorrow we're going, those of us who are going to the Thai Square City restaurant, we've decided best not to take the alms bowls. Because if we go to the Tate Modern after, then if it's a problem of what to do with our alms bowls. And you don't want to have to walk, carry the alms bowls to the Tate. for that. I don't anyway. And the restaurant's quite willing to feed us on tables so we can eat like ladies and gentlemen tomorrow. It'd be nice for a change, wouldn't it? So at 9 o'clock? Yeah. And I'm pretty tired from all my travels, so I will not sit up till midnight. And I leave it up to you whether you do or not.